Hello and welcome to watching Left, Right and Center, the weekend edition. I'm Vedant Agarwal. On the show this evening, our special tribute to the monumental Prime Minister, Manmohan Singh. Well, Delhi witnessed his last journey today as he was cremated with full state honours. But he has left behind an unparalleled legacy. The liberaliser, the reformer, but very importantly also a quiet nation shaper. He was a quiet nationalist. A quality of him that not many know. Now remember, he is somebody who introduced nationalist schemes like the right to information, the National Food Security Act, the right to education, and of course also laid the foundation stone of tax reforms and GST later as well. Remember, Manmohan Singh had special bonds with various states like Andhra Pradesh, Assam of course, also West Bengal and Punjab of course. Today, as Manmohan Singh departs, and as we witnessed his final journey today, editorials across national and regional dailies paid their tributes to Manmohan Singh. From Telangana to Kerala to West Bengal to Jammu and Kashmir, opinion pieces in national and regional dailies recall how he was a statesman, a kind of statesmanship that is remarkable and now unknown. Manmohan Singh is remembered as an architect of modern India, somebody who laid the foundation stone of our modern economy, but also principles of democracy. His democratic spirit is something that he is remembered for in all these editorial pieces in various regional dailies. On Left, Right and Center tonight, we look at Prime Minister Manmohan Singh's legacy. Amid this breakdown between states and the central government, do we look at his legacy as a quiet nation shaper? What are the principles to learn from Prime Minister Manmohan Singh's legacy? Joining me on the show this evening, Neeraj Chaudhary, senior journalist. Also, Gopal Krishna Agarwal, spokesperson of the BJP. Sanjay Jha, political analyst who supports the Congress, will also be joining me in a short while from now. Imran Nabi, spokesperson of the National Conference. Salim Dharani Dharan, spokesperson of the DMK. Also, Pattabhi Ram Kumar Reddy, national spokesperson of the TDP. Thanks all very much for being with us. We'll cross to you first, Neeraj Ji. In your book, you describe Manmohan Singh as the misunderstood Prime Minister who triumphed. And perhaps his biggest triumph would be all these schemes that we recall today. Whether it was the right to information, the implementation of the National Food Security Act, these are also extremely nationalist schemes. And as Manmohan Singh advocated for through his career, the trickle-down effect of these economic welfare schemes is something that's extremely significant. And when we look at the politics of today and this breakdown of trust between government and the opposition, how do you recall his triumph as a democratic nationalist prime minister?
I think that's a very interesting strap that you've given, quiet nationalist. And this, you know, what the title of my chapter on him in my book, How Prime Ministers Decide, is The Underrated Prime Minister Who Triumphed.
Yes.
And I, you know, this was, book came out last year, so I asked to see him to present the book to him. So he wrote back and said, I've already got the book, but please come and see me. So when I went there, the book was lying on the table and he said, I've read it, and he opened the chapter and he pointed to the heading. And it is what he liked the best. So somewhere he felt it was a vindication of what he stood for and had not been recognized, because people called him, prime minister by remote control, a weak prime minister. Of course, the coalition model that he headed was a very difficult model, because the mandate had been for Sonia Gandhi. The Congress Parliamentary Party had elected her. The UPA Parliamentary Party had elected her to be prime minister. And the president was almost ready to invite her to form the government, and she transferred the mandate to Dr. Manmohan Singh. So he understood the nature of that mandate, that it wasn't for him, it was for her, and she had transferred it to him. And that implicit in this arrangement was the need for them to work together and to share power. Mm. And I think that he found many things, and there was a broad, crude, I would say, division between the party and the government, where he was supposed to look after the governance and the party would look after the political things. Now, you cannot make a separation like that. But he balked many times and he threatened to resign also several times. But he really did not rock the boat at all, at any time. And he was very quiet. And people called him Moni Baba. He yes. must have swallowed many a bitter pill. But as I said, he ran the government with grace and without, as I say, rocking the boat. And it is something, you know, we've been talking about this yes. all through last 3 days, whether as Prime Minister of India, he could have pushed the envelope much more than he did and asserted much more as Prime Minister of India, even given the constraints. On the other hand, his personality was very different.
Yes, and as you said, he handled the government with grace, and there was this sort of unique, unflappable quality about him that was extremely interesting to watch as well. But I think one point you made about, you know, the balance of power, that's extremely important. And Gopal Krishna Agarwal come in on this, because as the BJP government also finds itself sort of dealing with the pulls and pressures of a coalition government, would you say that there's a lot to learn from perhaps Dr. Manmohan Singh as well, how he balanced, you know, various constituents of the coalition, particularly in UPA 1, and also balance regional aspirations, because I think those become extremely important as we return to the coalition era.
Surely he is one of the most respected prime minister of the country, and everybody remembers him for many contribution to the economy, to the welfare. And he was for 10 years prime minister of India. His relations on the and his stand on the this nuclear deal with US is a legacy which we all remember. But the issue is, what happened is about the way he in the last was completely disoriented. That also we also remember, and what caused it? It is because of the situation which Congress created, and the Congress created for the Prime Minister, undermining the position of the Prime Minister position. So these are very issues, important issues, which the Congress should at least remember and now not do politics on the issue. It is, everybody knows, the situation in which such a great leader was put to, the way Rahul Gandhi put him to embarrassment by tearing the ordinance which was passed by the cabinet in the public, the way Sonia Gandhi treated him, there are so many things. So now Congress is playing politics is also okay. Very unfortunate. And I think Congress and the whole country should give the respect that he deserved.
Okay, Sanjay Jha, come in on this, because, you know, all these editorials that we see across regional dailies are in a sense testament to the fact that he is greatly respected and revered across states. I mean, look at what Telangana Today says, or look at what The Telegraph says, a statesman for the ages, a statesman par excellence. Right. So, you know, that in a sense gives you a sense of how respected he was across states, across India, as a quiet nationalist, as I've been describing him, and also the kind of relationship he had with his allies, with the late Karunanidhi, even with Mamata Banerjee, a respect that was defined by dignity and grace. But would you say that the Congress party, perhaps, the National Advisory Council, the infamous National Advisory Council, Sonia Gandhi, you know, the Congress party perhaps could have done better in terms of projecting him as his great unifier?
The ordinance.
Sanjay Jha, go ahead.
Yeah, I do feel that where Dr. Singh was concerned, I mean, he will go down as an extraordinary prime minister, because his success has to be measured against the reality of being part of a coalition government. And the Congress was at that point of time experimenting with that model for the first time. And don't forget, here is a man who put his own neck on the line and his government literally on the ropes, because he believed in the civil nuclear deal and the Indo-US contract. And I think that tells you about the kind of commitment he had to the larger interests of the people of India. So for him, political power was about how can I channelize that for the benefit of my country. I agree with you that the party could have done more to back him, because I can tell you the oddity. He, in the last 2.5 years of his otherwise unblemished performance over his tenure as a prime minister, a lot of people said there was a policy paralysis. The Congress was not able to tell the people of India that there was a parliamentary crisis being created or a paralysis being created because there were log jams and gridlocks repeatedly by the opposition led by the BJP. And the Congress's own political communication was woefully short, which is why, despite the fact that between 2004 and 14, Dr. Singh gave India the highest GDP growth rate of 7.8%, lifted 270 million people out of poverty, the ideal example of reforms with a human face or compassionate capitalism, which is the model that even Barack Obama admired. And the second point, look at his tenure as a prime minister. Some of the most landmark legislation, whether it's RTI, Lokpal Bill, anti-corruption, full-on transparency, MNREGA, the ultimate social security scheme of the world, the right to food security, FDI and multi-brand retail, right to education. I mean, you look at the landmark legislation that changed India. Don't forget Aadhaar, direct benefits transfer, GST. The architecture of all these were prepared when he was the prime minister. He
and that
saw
the also
need
gave
to have
birth
a digital
to the great
infrastructure
Indian middle class, as many credit him for.
I credit him for the simple reason that he stood tall despite the fact that he was not a career politician.
Right.
Here was an intellectual behemoth. He was a man who was a bureaucrat or an economist, scholarly man, riding the most critical job in the country in a shark-infested world of politics. He navigated that, I thought, brilliantly. Should the Congress party have done better? I think so.
Okay.
They should have ring-fenced him when the charges were made of corruption. Because as you all noticed...
Gopal Krishna Agarwal, you had a quick point to make. Go ahead, and I'll bring in the
Prashant, I think that history is for everybody to learn. And I would just underline this, key. He was a great man. He had so many accomplishments to his credit. But he was undermined by the Congress. And it is for the Congress which is all the discredit what goes to him is because of Congress ecosystem that had worked against him. So we have to understand and listen to him. History is for learning. Congress is lot many things to answer.
Sure.
And it is not only with Manmohan Singh ji, but Narasimha Rao ji. So this mindset of just Nehru Gandhi family is hurting the nation.
So I take your point, though. I don't want to turn this into a BJP versus Congress debate. And let's come back to the topic. Imran Nabi of the National Conference is also with us. Mr. Nabi, he had a special connect with Jammu and Kashmir as well. He worked a great deal for peace initiatives in Jammu and Kashmir. In terms of visiting Jammu and Kashmir, initiating this kind of peace dialogue as well as a 7-day state mourning in Jammu and Kashmir. And we had all regional leaders paying tributes to him. Would you say he could have done more? Of course, there's a lot to revisit in retrospect. One can sort of reflect on it. But would you say that he didn't take as radical an approach perhaps as was needed at the time, though he is credited for many peace initiatives in Jammu and Kashmir?
No, I think Manmohan Singh's era is one of the brightest. If you look through the prism of resolving the long pending issues between India and Pakistan, I think he was a prime minister who was bold enough to meet the then premier of the Pakistan, General Musharraf, and I think they had reached to some sort of a consensus, but unfortunately that couldn't move ahead. He was responsible for, I think he's the only prime minister who delivered vis-a-vis rehabilitation of Kashmiri Pandits. He was very brief with his words, but his actions were way beyond. I mean, they are still, there has been no unparalleled work that Manmohan Singh started when he was the prime minister. If you remember, he started the migrant package under which around 4,000 Kashmiri Pandits were given government jobs. Till date, there has been no such initiative taken by the Modi government. So all in all, I think Manmohan Singh ji delivered. And he delivered to the best that he could have. Unfortunately, the legacy that he has left was not carried forward by the successive regimes, particularly the BJP, which is high on hyperbole but low on action.
Absolutely. And of course, the Manmohan Musharraf formula, as it were, that was also something that comes to mind. And then the Udaipur Baramulla, railway. So, a lot of the development works that we talk about now in Jammu and Kashmir.
And the highway also, the new upgraded highway.
During Manmohan Singh's regime. Yes, go ahead.
NH44 highway.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of the development works that we talk about were actually initiated during Dr. Manmohan Singh's regime. But coming on this, Mr. Koma Reddy, because what's also interesting is that he was somebody who, who's not remembered as this man who believed in infrastructure and economic development, of course, and he really backed development across states. I mean, he had a special relationship with Vishakhapatnam as well. He was somebody who visited Andhra very often and, talked about how it can be the infrastructure hub of India. So in that sense, he was a man who really cut across states in terms of understanding the development potential.
Yeah, absolutely, Prashant. I mean, keeping aside politics for some time, Andhra Pradesh will always remember Manmohan Singh ji, because he was always kind, generous towards our state. He had supported a lot of projects. So, keeping aside politics, we will always remember him. I mean, that is what our leader, Mr. Naidu, today expressed in his condolence message. And he is truly a statesman par excellence. I can give you two examples, Prashant. Not only did he carry allies in the UP alliance, but he also had great respect towards the leaders in the opposition. Mm. For example, December 25th happens to be the birthday of the late former Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee ji. And when Manmohan ji was the Prime Minister, every year he made it a point to go visit Vajpayee ji on his birthday as a Prime Minister. So that is why he is truly a statesman. He is not, he is not always, playing politics. He had great respect. And also today, our party General Secretary Mr. Lokesh also tweeted, remembering one incident. After 2004, when we lost power, the then government in the state reduced the security cover for Mr. Naidu, who had great threat from the Naxalites. Mm. When he had written to the Prime Minister, he immediately reacted and he had restored the NSG cover to Mr. Naidu. So that is how he, he carried along people in the opposition also. That is why we are all remembering him. We are all, showing great respect towards Manmohan ji. So that he is truly a statesman par excellence, and also he will also always be remembered as the man, who had shaped the Indian economy under Narasimha Rao ji. So that way he has his place, permanent place in the history of the country. He is a true son of the soil, and today we have lost a true patriot in the form of Manmohan Singh ji, and our party, the entire party leadership today, we have expressed our condolences and paid our rich homage to the late former Prime Minister, who is truly a statesman par excellence.
I think that's an important point you made, that he had amicable relations, across party lines, even with members of the opposition, members of the BJP. Stories of his camaraderie with leaders across party lines, of course, continue to be told. But Mr. Dharani Dharan, come in on this point, because, for a party like the DMK, which is such an important regional contingent, even in today's parliament, DMK is an important voice. Would you say that, regional aspirations are not being heard as much as they should be in a parliament of a coalition, of a coalition government? Because, of course, we are talking just a week after the winter session, which has been a complete washout. And we didn't see any debate at all. And in a parliament where regional parties are so important, do we need to revisit the Manmohan style functioning of perhaps a parliament and the Manmohan style of politics, where regional aspirations were heard and regional parties were heard and given given their due platform?
See, what you say has absolute merit in it, but I think today being, I do not want to do politics.
Yes.
Or go into BJP versus Congress, right? I think he's one of the greatest leaders India's ever had. And I'm on your show nearly every day. So I have ample time to talk about federalism, how it's all being, democracy is being destroyed in this country. But today I would like to say, before everything, before being a prime minister, Dr. Manmohan Singh was a wonderful human being. He was an example for all. And apart from that, leave aside politics. He serves as a role model to the youth of this country. How? From humble origins, he studied in kerosene oil, night lamps, really humble origin, managed to get scholarship to Cambridge, then Oxford, my alma mater, and then became professor there, and then worked in international organization, then rose to the rank, only through his academic scholarship. And what does this show? This show the youth that if you work hard, if you study hard, then you can achieve, reach wherever you want. Education is an equalizer. This is a very important message that we want to give to the youth. I think federalism, consensus building in the parliament in today's day can wait for tomorrow. This, I want to say this. But again, one more thing which he should be credited, I think, is which is also forgotten, is that he was also sent us to negotiate in 99 with Jayalalitha.
Yes.
You know how hard it is to negotiate with her. And he managed to get 12 seats then out of the 40, in spite of Congress being then divided and there was being a Tamil Manila Congress, which was actually having more vote percentage than Congress.
Absolutely.
So I think this we should give credit. And again in 2004, it was Manmohan Singh who again got the alliance with my party, the DMK, and the alliance is still strong. DMK is by far the...
Yes.
The closest ally to the Congress, and the credit goes to him.
Mm.
And what is very important for any country, the future of the world lies in energy. And he did the American deal in 1999. We had the atomic test, and then we had an embargo. But then he made this deal happen in spite of the CPI and CPM not in favor of it. And we are enjoying the merits of the same even today.
Absolutely.
Energy is
I think that's such an important point. That's such an important point you're making. And all those references that you made also extremely important. Go ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Can you repeat it? No. See, and again, I want to say, in 2008, we also had financial crisis across the world, but India did not face the same. India's per capita GDP in the 10 years grew by about 4 times. Right? One of the highest. If you look at any 10-year period, that was the highest.
Hmm.
So, we now see a colleagues pouring in from across the world, across party lines. Even in India, coalition partners of the UPA, the NDA, Malaysian Prime Minister said when he was imprisoned, right? In fact, Manmohan Singh offered his children scholarship to come and study in India.
Yes.
And these are the messages we're getting. I don't think there's
any
leader
of the
world
who has not mentioned. Of the statesman those are several important points I'm making. And in fact, you spoke of the economy and the numbers. Of course, he continued to have delivered over 8% GDP growth through both his tenures. I think that's a very important point. And at a time when we see this kind of complete breakdown of communication between the opposition and treasury benches, his legacy becomes all the more important, with regional aspirations becoming significant as well, and why they deserve a platform at the central level as well. So a lot to learn from his legacy. But thanks very much, Neeraj Chaudhary, Gopal Krishna Agarwal, Sanjay Jha, Imran Nabi, Salim Dharani Dharan, and Mr. Ram Kumar Reddy on joining us on the show this evening. That's all the time that we have on Left, Right and Center this weekend. Thanks so much for watching. Goodbye.